this world, I walk alone with no place to call my home. But there's one who holds my hand through rugged roads, through barren lands. The way is dark, the road is steep, but he's become my eyes to see, the strength to climb, the Savior lives inside me there. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. Take my trials of life, I find another voice inside my mind. He comforts me and bids me live inside their gifts. In your love I find release, a haven from my unbelief. Take my life and let me be
Thank you, Lord. Who's watching the Middle East war these days? It's awesome. The hand of God is moving. The Lord is definitely working. Put down all evil. It's starting. His name will be glorified throughout this whole world, and they will know there is a God in Israel. Jesus is awesome. This morning I want to preach about glory. What do we glory in? There's two things you can glory in. You can glory in the flesh or in works, or you glory in the cross of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's your choice. The Apostle Paul brought it very clearly, and he was a leader of both sides. He was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He upheld the law to the T. When he lived outside Jesus, he was a true Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was religious to the core. He gloried in what he knew, what he was taught. But that wasn't good enough. That didn't do it. He needed to glory in something else. And this morning, I will preach on the glory that we can glory in that will last forever is in the glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get into this message, let's ask the Lord to bless us. Arise and stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Jesus, we ask you, I ask you, Lord, that you will use my lips, Lord, to bring out your word the way you want it to be preached. Lord, not my own ideas, but Lord, what the word of God says. I ask you, Lord, to bless us, bless the congregation, bless this service. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. When we read in the Word of God, can you put up the scriptures, Galatians 6:14, we bring out Paul made a clear and bold statement. He said, I will glory, God forbid that I should glory, but save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing that will stand and last forever. It's the only glory a Christian can obtain and glory in is in the cross. And why? It's very simple, because before Paul got converted to Christianity, before Paul got converted to be a soldier of the cross, he lived to be a Pharisee of all Pharisees. And he lived the way he was taught to live it. And that was all dung, he says. You have to remember, works and glory, they go hand in hand. When it comes to doing works, trying to attain and please God, you will glory in your flesh. That's what the Word of God preaches. That's what it teaches. But when you are grounded in the cross of Jesus, what he did for you and for me, you can glory rightfully that Jesus did it all for you and not you yourself. That's all what he's saying here is, I will glory, save in the cross. Why is it so important? Because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he took every stain and sin away. He took it upon himself and set you free, you and me, and says, I will do it, I will finish it, I will pay the debt. I will pay everything that you owed against God and set you totally free, so you do not have to work. So you don't have to work. And works are good only if it's done in the cross. It's good to have good works. Nothing wrong with them, but don't use works to please God. It doesn't work. You have to please God only in the cross and what you do for Jesus. When we read in Romans, just turn to Romans 4:2, when Paul the Apostle wrote about Abraham, the forefather of our faith, he said, God said, if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory. He could glory in that. He had good works. He did lots of stuff for God. He even just come to the point to sacrifice his own son for God. It's a good work, but God stopped them. That wasn't good enough. But he said, not he had whereof to glory, but not before God. We have nothing to bring before God. We have nothing to show to God. There's nothing in us. Even our good works that we think we can do, they do not mean a hill of beans to God. Because God knows my heart. He knows your heart. Because I grew up in a religious system. I was a Pharisee. I was religious to the T, to the core. And I can vouch to that. A lot of you probably could do. I was religious. And one thing I remember, you cannot please God. See, with self-worth and works that you think that you can obtain and do good stuff is the pleasing of men. That's all it is to uplift your flesh, uplift other people. It has nothing to do with God. Trying to make peace with God through good works. Go and sing. Read the word, even reading the word of God. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's good that you read it, but it does not do you any good until the Prince of Peace becomes one with you. Until you come to know Jesus, then it all becomes open to you. That's when you put all your efforts aside. That's when you put all you aside and say, Jesus, I will glory in none other, save in the cross of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. We have nothing to glory. We have nothing to brag about. The only thing I have to brag about right now is Jesus, and I love him because he has set me free. It took years to get this whole religious junk out of my system, this whole religious demonic activity, because religion will bring you down. It does not please God, neither can it be please God. And I'm going to prove it to you in Philippians 3. When Paul wrote in Philippians 3, he brought it very clearly out what he meant by that. Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. He brings it out very clearly. You want to brag about being good, being good works and in the flesh in glory. I can tell you everything. I was there. I was there before you. I know exactly what it is all about. I have worked. I have done everything. Think I did it for the Lord. And he said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. That is the highest calling in the religious sect of those days, is of being a Pharisee. They knew the scripture, but the problem was they didn't know the scripture. They didn't know anything about Jesus. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He lost everything. He even mentioned it. He said, I counted all but dung that I may win Christ. Until you come to that point, until you come to that realization that all your efforts and my efforts don't mean nothing to God, it's a humble, a contrite spirit before him. And say, Lord Jesus, young people, listen very carefully. You can obtain a lot of things. You can do sport. You can be high up in this world until you come to know the real truth about Jesus, that he loves you and that he died for you. You have nothing. There's nothing wrong in doing sports. Don't get me wrong. But one thing you have to remember, Jesus is the only answer. In this whole wicked world, there will be a time coming. I want to tell you, you won't be able to put on the radio. There'll be no preacher on there. It's what you seek now, is what you learn now, is what you get now. You will have. The word of God will always be there. But always remember, Jesus loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you, so that we might have life. Not our own efforts, because there is nothing good in you and me. We can't have good works that pertain to God. They mean nothing to him. It's a heart that seeks him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm only your child here. I need you to save me. I need you to come into my heart and change the inner man. This body, this flesh will be put away someday, but you need the inner heart. You need to be born again by his Spirit so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So this is the end of my message, and I hope the Lord has touched you and blessed you with it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? Jesus makes the difference. Isn't that something? Religion is so powerful that it'll destroy people. But when Christ comes in, then the religion slowly has to leave. And it takes time sometimes. So give it time. Who's ever religious out there, and religion comes in different forms. Just work at it. Christ, Jesus said, I'll give you a hint. Jesus said, if I were thirsty, I wouldn't ask you for water. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The earth is mine, the heavens are mine. You got nothing to offer. So there we stand, naked, and totally with nothing, dead in trespasses and sin. The only thing we can do is accept what he wants to give us. That's eternal life through the blood of Calvary. Hallelujah. And that takes care of religion. I know it does. Today I'm going to speak on Psalm 83. It started to being fulfilled in 49. Psalm 83 started to being fulfilled in 1949. It started really in 48, but the wars started in 1949, and it hasn't let up until now. And I'm going to read you the scripture, Psalm 83, verse 1. Interesting how God looks at those people and writes it down 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. What you're going to do? Why are those wars? It's because they hate God. And why do they hate the Jew? The Jew is a representative of God. He represents it. People, the Jewish people up till now figured, we want to be like the rest of the nations. We don't need religion. There was actually a fight in the streets of Tel Aviv just before October when it started on the 7th. On the 6th, the religious Jews had a fight with non-religious Jews. We don't need religion. That's why people don't like us. No, on the 7th, they found out that the whole world does not want the Jew. Whether he's rich, whether he's poor, whether he's healthy, whether he's sick, whether he's good looking or bad looking, it doesn't matter to anybody. If he's a Jew, he should be exterminated. Why? It comes from Satan. Satan wants death, that cancer, so-called cancer, off the face of the earth, because he wants to try to get to go against God. He knows they are God's chosen. And I got news for those listening through the internet. If Putin is listening, maybe he is, you're in for a surprise when you come up against Israel. Okay. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and have consulted against thy hidden ones. So already in those days, they were already trying to exterminate the Jewish people. But in 1948-49, it says this. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation. Never mind a two-state solution. We don't want them alive. Whether they're in the States, in Israel, in Canada, in Egypt, wherever they are, we want them dead. That's the verdict. They have spoken to one another. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The name of Israel may be no more remembered. Ha! Good luck is right. You ain't gonna make it. the flag of Israel will fly, and all the nations will be on their knees crying out, Jesus is Lord. And then it gives, I'll read a few of the nations that come against Israel. And I am a history buff. I've read all the wars. I've studied all the wars of Israel. Does it make sense? The Syrians attacked them in 1978, 250 tanks against 60. Guess who won? Israel. With their 60 tanks, knocked out 250 Syrian tanks. That's a lot of people that got killed. It's called the Valley of Tears now. Why? Because they lost so many people. The Tabernacles of Edom. Who's that? That's Iran. I've studied these words. And we've changed the names. Satan has tried to keep us confused by who those people are. But I'll read a few of them, and I'll give them to you from where we understand them today. The Ishmaelites, that's the Arabs, like Saudi Arabia, they tried, of Moab and Harganites, or whatever they're called, Gibel, Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Troy, of Tri. Moab, you have to remember, are the cousins of Israel. How many of you know that? The Moabites come from Lot, Abraham's nephew. The Amorites come from Lot. He's the nephew of Abraham. And then also it says Ashur also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. There we go. Where are they now? Who are they? Ishmael has the Arabs. The Arabs come from Israel. But when you look at Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why Esau? He, in spite of his mother, mom and dad's warning, went and married the Nephilim in the land of Israel now, in the land of Canaan. He went in there and married those devils, two of them. And that's where you got all this mess from. They've been passed down generation after generation. It says in Psalm 83, verse 12, who has said, let us take to ourselves the house of God in possession. They've been trying that. In 1967, let's go back to 1949. Where with a couple of 303s and a couple of old planes throwing out firecrackers. They didn't have nothing. A couple of grenades they threw out and a whole bunch of firecrackers. They pushed back five armies. Can you imagine? God was there helping them. They got scared. Then in 1967, Israel hit them all. Syria, Jordan, and Egypt, and basically knocked them out. That's where they got Jerusalem from the Jordanians. They occupied it up till then. And they couldn't figure out what is going on. The military people of today will not take Israel for an example. They do not study them. Why? Because it doesn't make logical sense the way they win their wars. Isn't that interesting? Somehow God opens their eyes a crack at a time every time there's a war. In 1973, Yom Kippur War, they were all like this time, everybody's celebrating. Nobody out working. They were celebrating Yom Kippur when three armies attacked at once. Syria, Jordan, and the Egyptian. Guess what happened to them? The prime minister was, what was his name? He was a woman. And she called the president of the United States and said, if we don't get any arms, we're not going to be here anymore. And they sent them arms there. And within 48 hours, everything was turned around. So God is standing with them by other nations helping, by incredible experiences they themselves have. One general stood, he was fighting, like he was commanding, and there was a dove that landed on his shoulder every day, every day, every day, till the 1973 war was over. Then it flew away, a white dove. That's the truth. I've heard him speak in a church in America. Interesting stuff happening. People don't pay attention. But Israel is where we keep our eyes on. It is where we're going to see God starting to move to the end times. Okay, now, here when it started last time, it was supposed to be a three or four prong attack. Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Syria, all at the same time. But guess what? Hamas wanted the honor, and they jumped the gun. By the grace of God, they jumped the gun and went ahead without the other ones knowing. And guess what? Within 3 days, they were pushed back, and now they are being annihilated one by one. Hezbollah is from Lebanon. If they don't watch it, they're going to be next. And where are those arms coming from? They're coming from Iran. Iran's got a civil war. Revival's breaking out over there. So we're going to see what will happen. But Syria is a proxy of Iran. And there's a city there called Damascus. And that city has stood since the beginning of time. And God says, one day, it's going to happen. In the morning, they'll wake up, and there's going to be no more Damascus. So I have a feeling it's working towards that very fast, where Damascus is going to be put out of commission. And then we're going to see some stuff, which I'll get into next week, where the Russian bear, the hook is put into his jaw, and he comes down to do what? To take possession of Israel, their greenhouses, their gold, their silver, their oil, their natural gas. Natural gas and oil is like gold. And the Russians need it terribly, together with the Chinese. So we're going to see something happening very, very soon. Keep your eyes open. Never mind Putin is a good guy. He's a frickin' KGB guy who was a murderer from birth on. And the last few days, I've heard him speak words that I know the hook is already digging into his cheek. So we're going to see what's going to come out of that. It's getting terribly dangerous in the Middle East. And the safest place to be is Israel, because God, on the next attack, will not allow those enemies those armies to come in to Jerusalem or even into the place which is called Israel now. They'll die on the mountains of Israel that's around the area. How will they die? God himself will kill them. How will he kill them? Read Zechariah. You're going to find out. It's very interesting. Hailstones as big as 75 to 100 pounds. Water overflowing. Even yesterday, water, drenching rain, filled those tunnels that were underneath the Hamas, Gaza Strip, filled them up. Lightning struck the tunnel entrances. People were killed. Who do they think they're fighting? A mere man with an automatic, with an AK-47 or whatever you want. They'll find out who they're fighting. They're fighting God, the creator of the universe. And they're going to find out one day his fury will come up in his face and they will see what the wrath of God really means. So this is what's coming up. Keep your eyes open, unless you don't have the heart. You can come to church to listen to it. But it's terrible. It's awful when you hear of the things that happen, when you see children and adults, young adults, being killed. You know why they let the old women loose? You know why they let the old women that are over 60? They let them go. Why did they do that? They can't produce more children. No more Jews from that woman. We can let them go. She'll die soon. That's what they're saying openly on TV. Isn't that interesting? Young kids, they put into an oven and roast them alive. Is that a human being? No, it isn't. It's a demon in disguise working in a human body. So this is what Israel is seeing. We're only hearing it, and we're going to see God move one of these days that'll shake even our toes. Hallelujah. So let this open your eyes, because God says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Jesus is coming back for his bride, and we're out of here. Then let them kill each other. That's up to them. God is still on the throne, even when we're gone. It's gonna be in doing stuff here that our mind and heart cannot even comprehend. So open your heart to this. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Israel, for America. A lot of Jews are in America. They're moving back by the thousands, knowing they're not even saved. Here or in America. Why? Because Satan is out to kill each and every one of them. This is how he works. He doesn't care. He's to steal, kill, and to destroy. One day, he'll be put into the lake of fire. But until then, we have to pray and we have to keep our ears open. And don't be discouraged, because God is in control. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing.
How I love the voice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He declares his work is finished. He has spoken this hope. Triumphed over evil. It was finished. Jesus paid the price for me. Has offered great the welcome that I receive. Boldly I approach my Father, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. There is no more guilt to carry. It was finished upon that cross. Was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me, but the Son who died to save us rose that we would be free indeed. Death was once my great opponent. Fear once had He rose that we would be free.